Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, it's Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. The website's jackiecation.com, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com if you like a determiner. Let's do the credits. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio and video. Vilmos works on JackieCation.com. And Mike Rickberg sang the song with his wife, Sarah. He composed it, and he will sing his version of the Mexican hat dance at the end of this show. Thank you so much for listening to the Dork Forest. Here's a scoop. I'm doing stand-up online. A lot of Zoom shows will eventually go back on the road. Sign up for my email list. It's easy to get off. It's harder to get on than it is to get off. And no harm, no foul, if ever bored. JackieCation.com. Sign up for the email list. You'll find out about my weekly Zoom shows and stand up on the road eventually. You may donate to the show if you would like. I would like. Sure, I would. There's PayPal, Jackie@JackieCation.com, and there is a PayPal button on both DorkForest.com and JackieCation.com, and there's Venmo if you like Venmo, Jackie-Cation, oddly enough. If you have listened to all of the shows, go to dorkforest.bandcamp.com, I think. The Dork Forest has a Bandcamp page. You can listen to a lot of ones that are free from pre-2009 when I started pre-recording. And then there's live episodes that cost me a couple of bucks, so I charge you a couple of bucks. There's also some stand-up. There's a story album that's very exciting there. And other than that, I have a lot of merch in my garage. Feel free to order if you know anybody who doesn't have any CDs or the DVD. And you can follow me everywhere at Jackie Cation. Let's get into the show. Hi, Jackie Cation here, talking to Andy Main. I've never had her on the Dork Forest. I have no idea why that's true, because you're made for the show, Andy Main. Well played.
Are you calling me a dork?
I am. I am. And it is the highest honor when you come on the Dork Forest and I say that you should have been on earlier.
Oh, thank you.
Andy Main, by the way, it's at Andy Main on everything. A-N-D-I-E-M-A-I-N. Colorado comic now. Pacific Northwest, I think, when we met, right?
Yeah. Portland born and raised.
That's it. And you have an album that came out a year ago just now called Magpie on Blonde Medicine Records.
I do.
Magpie is the name of the album. You guys are going to want to find it. You've got a podcast that I've been on twice, and it's a PETA podcast, except for PETA stands for what?
PETA, in this case, stands for People Enjoying Terrible Accidents. And it's yes. A podcast where vegetarians make fun of people who have been murdered by animals.
I'm just pro-vegetable, and I've been on twice. So I am not a vegetarian.
Yeah,
but,
I'm a vegetarian, so that takes out the pressure off of everyone else.
Exactly. There's at least one vegetarian that it makes it a meeting of vegetarians. If one vegetarian is indeed currently active.
I don't know what the collective noun is for vegetarians. Maybe it's like a rutabaga of vegetarians.
Me neither. And you said that you helped at least financially or you invested a little bit time and energy to the Comedy Fort, which is a brand new comedy club in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in Fort Collins, right? Because it's a comedy fort.
Yep. Comedy Fort, Fort Collins. When I moved from Portland to Denver, I sold my house and I had exactly enough leftover cash to invest in a comedy club. And I was like, I moved out to Denver for comedy because the scene out here is the best in the world.
My God, that feels like such a stand-up comic thing to do. I have this nest egg. Oh, you want to start a comedy club?
Yeah.
Let me give it to you.
Exactly. I was like,
holy hilarity.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they booked me to perform there.
I was booked to perform there in March. I will not be going because Aaron Jackson today defined it. on Instagram, Aaron Jackson, one of the great comics of the world, has been on this program, needs to be back on again, defines it as a vaccine envy. I have vaccine envy. I need to be vaccinated before I do stand-up comedy again. I would like you all to be vaccinated before you see stand-up comedy again. This is just my dream of us all not dying or having a hard time breathing for the next 30 years. So,
In the current reality of who's vaccinated, if we only did perform for those who were vaccinated, we would just be doing old folks' homes.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. How great would that be, though? I kind of... Oh my gosh, I have to write that down. Because that is something I want to talk to Lori about. I have another podcast, you guys. Jackie Lori Show, Perform for the Vaccinated.
Nurses and olds.
That's it, just the olds and nurses and teachers. Which would be an amazing, I mean, I once did a show, and I don't know, now they're gonna hear it twice if they listen to Jackie and Lori, because I once did a show for a group of elderly people.
Oh, no.
And I was a fourth, and some woman grabbed me before I went on stage. I was waiting to be introduced. She grabbed me in the way that I'm looking forward to when I get old, which is this sort of claw that'll just grab onto a person's wrist, and it is a death grip.
And is it cold?
It was a little chilly, a little clammy. And she grabbed my wrist, and she goes, "Speak louder and slower." And she grabbed my wrist. So she's not wrong. I was like, I see why you would want that. And let's talk about your dorkdom, which I think is important that we get into, which is something I do not know anything about, and it is orcas, my friend.
Orca whales. Yeah.
They are a whale.
They're a dolphin. They're the biggest dolphin, but they call them whales. Just
right. They're called orca whales, but a dolphin's are whales mammals?
Yeah, whales and dolphins are all part of the species. I don't know if it's species. It's cetacean. Cetacean is their genus, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
The closest related land animal of any of these mammals is the hippo, which is very weird.
Ah, the hippo, a terrifying animal.
Yeah.
That will kill you in a heartbeat. And they have bad eyesight. So their judgment of who to kill is entirely arbitrary, because
they're vegetarian and they just kill for fun.
Right. I once got to feed a hippo at the LA Zoo. And what it was is you would throw a Waldorf salad, sans nuts, into the face of a hippo. And the zookeeper said, "Do not fall into the hippo cage because you will die.
And you will end up on my podcast."
Right. And she said, "Do not fall into the hippo cage because you will die. And I cannot help you, because if I tried to help you, I would die. So do not fall into the hippo cage." But you threw cabbages and apples. So it was Waldorf, but no nuts. No nuts.
Did they have their jaws open waiting for it?
I think so. There was I think they have a good sense of smell.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing close enough that they could smell the foods. And so open a mouth, toss, and then into the maw of a hippo, and then chomp, chomp, chomp. And then we continued. And it was actually it was a little disappointing, I felt, because we did it sort of in front of, it was during zoo hours. So kids were there too. And kids were like, "Can I feed the hippo?" And I thought, oh, you should let a kid feed this fucking hippo. Why do I get to? I mean, not that I'm not psyched to feed a hippo, but how much more psyched would a 9-year-old or a 7-year-old who might fall in and die? And that's what the zookeeper told me, the zoo lady.
Yeah.
He was like, "I can't risk. I have to risk someone in their 40s. And I was like, "Fair enough."
I've never fed a hippo. I've only seen them at the zoo. And the one time I was at the zoo once with my best friend, we were on shrooms, which was a horrible, horrible idea.
Wow.
I was in my
wildlife and shrooms.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, let's go watch animals being trapped on the drug that gives you the most empathy of any drug.
Right, right. And it makes you think.
Yeah.
About the injustices of the world.
Yeah. And we were at the hippo exhibit and there were zebras with the hippos. I guess they get along. Maybe they're buddies. But my friend was like, you know what? Zebras are stupid. And right at that moment, a zebra fell over.
Oh, wow.
Just like a thump with like a plume of dust in the air. My friend killed a zebra with his shroom brain.
Yeah, his shroom brain was a little judgmental, it turns out.
Yeah.
What a judgmental shroom brain. It's supposed to open you up. Last time I did shrooms, this had to be 1990, quite some time ago. And I was lying on a gravel driveway on Cape Cod with my friend Shauna. And I said something about the sky and she said, no, you're thinking, don't think. I don't want to have a shroom think. I want to have a shroom fun. Okay. I don't want to have the big, essentially she didn't want to have the big conversation. She wanted to just laugh.
Oh, okay.
So she was like, we have to go and now wander around. And what did we do? We ran into somebody's parents. That's what you do. That's what you do when you're on drugs and you haven't really planned it correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Don't do drugs.
Dum dum dum. Let's talk orcas. They're a mammal. They're they're a whale sort of thing. A whale dolphin. They're giant.
They reach up to like 33 feet long, and the males live to be in their 60s, but the females live to be in their 90s.
Oh.
Yeah.
And how long are they fertile? Do you know? With orcas?
I think, you know.
Or do they just spend the last 30 years just sort of chilling, psyched?
They do go through menopause. I learned that today.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. Yeah. They're one of three animals besides humans. I think it's humans. And then I don't remember the other animal. I'm guessing apes.
That's amazing. They go through the weird change, the Terrigen Mists, man. That's wild. They go through the big change.
They do.
When?
I'm guessing in their 60s. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and assume that orcas have the exact same age sort of transitions in life that humans do. You know, like when you're 50, you start noticing that things change.
You know? Oh my God. I love the idea that female orcas, lady orcas, they're born right around 13. They really just get a little moody like you do. Same with the boys, but the boys get silent and the girls get kind of grumpy. And these are vast generalizations, by the way, and I'd like to acknowledge that. And then
we're scientists
and comedians. Oh, yeah. And it's important to make generalizations. But it's funny. Wow. Okay. So what did you learn about orcas? About the mating of orcas? This is kind of what I'm interested in just because of their age difference.
Oh, about like how the males die earlier.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the reason that the orca societies they're matriarchal. It's like the grandma runs everything and she actually tells the males who they can mate with and who they can't.
Oh.
And some males stay within that pod for their whole lives, being controlled by their mothers.
Oh,
and then others go off and do their own thing and kind of create their own pods. When you were talking about like adolescence in orcas, it happens with dolphins too, where like when the males reach adolescence, they do become super rowdy and super feisty and aggressive. And right now in Spain, in Portugal, like in that part of the ocean, there is a population of resident orcas who are actively attacking yachts.
Oh, concerted? Actively, like it's like a herd,
it's
a wolf.
Three
pack?
Adolescent males who are going
who are like,
after the.
We are fucking done with you people.
Yeah, they're done.
Oh,
and
that's
one of
awesome.
them, it's so cool. And it's great that it's yachts. It's not like
the fishing boats. That's weird. Good for them.
Yeah, I'm happy for them. But so this has been happening over since summertime, and Spain is not allowing people with boats that are less than 55 feet long to travel through this area anymore.
Because are the adolescents already 33 feet long? Are they pretty much fully grown, but just young?
No, they're a little bit tinier. I've seen them in the wild. I think they reach like full height or whatever. Well, it's interesting. And I'll bring this up later too. Cause I wanted to talk about Keiko, the whale from Free Willy.
Oh, okay. Cause that was an orca.
Yeah, he was an orca. And he like, when he moved from his tank in Mexico, they tried to rehabilitate him and put him in Oregon, in Newport. And they constructed like an entirely new tank for him that had like salt water and like actual ocean water rather than like just, I don't know, whatever they were.
Iodized Mortons.
Yeah, exactly.
A terrible idea. Someone just pouring, just emptying salt packets.
Yeah. I mean, he was being treated horribly. He wasn't being treated horribly in Mexico. It's just that they didn't have the right technology for him. They loved him there. But when he moved to Oregon and lived there for like 2 years, he actually grew an entire foot and gained 1,000 pounds. And his fins even grew like 6 inches longer. Just because, just because he was able to like thrive a lot more in those conditions. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm assuming, I'm just going to go ahead and treat it like the life cycle of humans.
Yes, when you're that's like, awesome.
When you're like 15, you're as tall as you're going to get.
Okay. And right, you might grow another inch and a half. So in their case, maybe a foot, but that's going to be some weird spurt when you're 20.
Yeah. These orcas in Portugal, they're like, the scientists can't tell if they're playing with the boats or if they're deliberately attacking them, but there's been like 40 attacks in the last summer. And I'm
40.
Just 40. Yeah.
Wow.
And they're always going for the rudder, which is the bottom of the boat. It's the part that looks kind of like this. And it also looks kind of like a dorsal fin just upside down. So,
yeah.
I don't know if that's,
but it's three male adolescents that are hanging out. Going, see that dorsal? Let's go screw with that.
It reminds me of like, you know, teenage boys hot wiring cars or something.
Right. It's so weird. Now, okay, so what do you want to, I have questions about orcas, and some of them are sad.
Sure.
Do the Japanese eat orcas? That is my only scent. Is anybody eating an orca?
I bet that like natives in the Arctic or in, I don't know.
maybe the Inuits, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Cause that's my other question, is their path. Are they Pacific animals or are they Atlantic animals? They sound like Atlantic.
They're in every ocean, Jackie.
Every ocean.
Every ocean.
Spread out.
Oh yeah. And there's migrant whales, which, you know, they migrate. And then there's whales that just stay home.
And orcas are both kinds? There's two. There's orcas that just stay home and there's orcas that migrate?
Yeah. There's two different types. And with the migrant whales, they're the ones that are insane. They're the ones that'll eat sharks and other whales. Like they hunt in packs. They coordinate all of it. They're able to talk to each other telepathically, Jackie.
No, not radar, telepathically.
Telepathically. Like there's a theory that, if you look at a whale brain, and I've looked at pictures of them, the way that you can tell how intelligent an animal is based on like the ridges and the like the shapes in the brain. I don't know, the bumpiness. Is that making sense?
Okay.
Like you either have a smooth brain like a cat, or you have a very or you have a very complicated bumpy brain with lots of texture in it, and orcas have a very textured brain. And the theory about like why whales will sometimes beach, you know, like pilot whales, for instance, beach a lot. It's because one whale in that herd is sick. And so then the whales, because they're all like interconnected telepathically, they wow. all think they're sick.
Wow.
And yeah. It's kind of like the Borg.
Yeah. It's very much. I mean, if it's a hive mind.
Yeah.
Like if they have a crazy ass hive mind, that's banana land. Wow. So, but orcas are carnivores.
Yeah. There's no vegetables in their world. No seaweed.
no seaweed at all. It's all yeah. just meat. And it's, and fish is on the, but they eat dolphins.
I don't know about them eating dolphins. I know that they eat like, oh man. Okay. So gray whales, are a target of the transient populations because like they will hunt a gray whale's baby for like 16 hours. And it's just this insane production of them trying to drown a baby whale that's the size of a car.
Wow.
And, then they only eat the tongue. That's all. They don't eat the rest of the body. They spend all of that time and energy just eat a baby whale tongue.
And if there's a herd of them, I mean, granted, how big is a baby? Is a gray whale bigger than an orca?
Oh, yeah. Gray whales are like, I would estimate.
Are they the largest? They might be the largest mammal on the planet, right? Blue whales are. I knew it was a whale. I knew
with the color in the name.
And but gray whales are enormous, so a baby whale's tongue might be enough.
Yeah, yeah,
might be enough for a family of four orca transient orca whales.
Probably like 15, I'm guessing. Oh, pack
15 in a pack
in a pod in actually a pod. If we're going to be scientists about it, yes.
Well, for the love of God, let's be scientific. And but what, That's almost human in its diabolical disgustingness. For 15 of these orcas to try to kill a baby just for its tongue?
Yeah.
That feels super sentient. Are they real smart?
Oh yeah. They're as smart as a like they're up there with chimps and dogs. I think dogs are smart. I don't know. They do problem solving. They use tools. Oh my God, Jackie, each pod of whales has its own language and like
whoa,
like they other pods can talk to each other, you know, but like there's accents and individual vocalizations that are unique to every pod.
Okay.
And so they were able to figure this out. Like they do. I was watching a documentary about Keiko because let's tell the whole story of Keiko.
Okay. Wait a minute, but there's like a common speech between orcas, but they have a lingo for each pod.
Yeah, yeah. And like when they were trying to find, so what they did with Keiko is after Free Willy came out, the producers, Warner Brothers, and the producers of the movie were like, we can't just send this whale back to its sad ass tank.
Right. We just told the story of how this whale escaped and lived a free yeah. life. Let's go put it back in a can. No.
Yeah.
So they couldn't do it.
And children around the world led the rally cry.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was at the perfect age when this came out, when Free Willy came out. Like, I was the target demographic.
What year did Free Willy come out?
Like, 93. Okay. And I was 13. Yeah.
Okay. So, there you go.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of rage, you're developing empathy, trying to reject it, but it's all being channeled into wildlife. Fair enough.
You know how people, like, some women are horse girls when they're growing up? Yeah, I was a whale girl.
Oh, there you go. I was horse and dog crazy. I was horse and dog crazy probably until I was about 12, and then I became Civil War crazy. I was a weird child.
Civil War crazy.
Yeah, nonfiction and historical fiction about Civil War, as long as the eye could see. Anyway.
That's amazing. So yeah, like when Free Willy wrapped, they're like, well, we can't just make this whale go back to this horrible squalid tank. they started investing money in building a tank in Oregon to get him more rehabilitated. They wanted a more natural atmosphere and setting. And so, you know, what's stupid is that I was only like 3 hours away from Keiko and growing up in Portland.
Right.
And I never saw him. Isn't that stupid?
Well, that's weird. Did your parents know that he was there? Did you know he was there? Did you ever plan something?
Yeah. I don't
know. Did you ask? No.
Okay. I did.
Yeah, of course you did. I was 3 hours is a bit of a haul, so.
Yeah, it's worth it to see an orca. I've seen him in the wild, though, and I'd much rather see a whale in the wild than in a tank. So then they, like, while the tank is being constructed, they have to figure out the logistics of moving this giant ass whale from Mexico to Oregon.
Mexico West Coast, Mexico East Coast.
Suez
Canal? What's happening?
They used UPS. They used the UPS plane. I'm not kidding.
Did they?
Yeah. What? United Postal Service moved a freaking whale.
Wow. Parcel service.
And, okay.
I only say that because stamps.com is now trying to get me to use UPS as well as the USPS. And I'm like, no, I would like the USPS to continue to exist. And but UPS was what they used to transport this whale.
Mm-hmm. And they had to train the whale to get ready to go on the plane. They have to put him in a giant harness. And then this whale's just like being held up in the air in a harness. And that's just so sad, you know, like
that seems like
around.
Right. It's not like you can hand the whale an iPad and try to just go, hey, if you could, you know, just chill out. It's a 6 hour flight.
It was a 14 hour flight.
14 hour flight.
Yeah. Out of water. And so they were moisturizing him the whole time. Like in photos of this, like heavy white cream.
Oh, cream.
Yeah. Like he had the oil of Olay. He had the skin of a young woman.
A much younger orca.
Yeah. So then when he landed in Oregon, the town went crazy. Newport went nuts. There's like footage of him being driven through the streets and everyone's just clapping. It's like
like a parade. Yeah,
it was a parade for this poor orca.
Wow.
And he was doing really well. Like as soon as he was comfortable in his tank, he started vocalizing more than they had ever heard before. Like he was like trying to talk more, and like, you know, just because it's like if you put someone in a better environment, they're gonna thrive. And he was thriving. He was doing new behaviors, like spy hopping is what they call it, when a whale just like sticks its head out of the water to kind of peek and then go down. It's a hunting technique.
Okay.
Keiko started spy hopping for the first time, and he was doing all of these like elaborate types of, well, I think of it as dancing, you know. I'm a romantic at heart about whales. But he was like doing new flips and jumps and dance moves, and he was having a pretty good time. He was stolen from his family in Iceland off of the coast of Reykjavik.
Okay.
And like someone paid a fisherman, like, because orcas obviously are like, oh, there's a fisherman, there's all these fish, I'm gonna go eat these fish, you know, like that's classic. Yeah.
Right. Why make honey when you could just go steal honey? That's what bees would do.
But someone paid a fisherman $10,000 to abduct this poor little baby whale when he was 2 years old. And then by the time he got to
Oregon,
he
psyched that he wasn't abducted to have them eat his tongue?
True. He was an optimistic whale. He's like, well, I'm trapped in a cage, but at least I have a tongue.
Right. But no one to talk to. I mean, that's something. Like if you were going to capture, if you want to keep orcas, right? If you say to yourself, I'm going to be the orca savior of the earth, please capture at least 15 of them so that they could talk to each other and be a pod, or maybe three or four, maybe?
like, if we go to, if we jump to SeaWorld and the whale Tillicum, the whale that like ate a trainer, not ate, but killed a trainer.
Right.
The reason why, like, they abducted whales from all over the planet and put them all in one tank together. And there was so much aggression because none of these whales spoke the same language, you know, like what I was talking about before.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, where was I in the
with Keiko? Yeah. Well, Keiko was spy hopping.
Yeah. He was learning new things. He was thriving. And they were teaching him to actually fish. Cause like the whole goal of this was to like put him, the reason why he went to Newport, Oregon was so that they could like put him in a better place where they can actually rehabilitate him and get him back to his family. That was the entire goal of his life.
Wow.
And so they started like teaching him how to hunt by putting shapes up on the glass, like just a triangle or a circle, and then putting that shape in the water. And then he would go and grab that shape and then bring it back to the glass. And that was like the first way to activate his brain to be like, this is hunting. But when they put live fish in the tank, he didn't actually recognize them as a source of food.
Oh, interesting.
Because he was only used to eating dead fish.
Oh, right, right. That makes sense.
Yeah. So
he did he just sort of chat with them and go?
He just kind of booped him with his nose.
Right. We'd headbutt him. He'd be like, yeah, what are you doing? Like, are you an animal or are you a vegetable? What are you?
I don't know why I don't want to eat you.
Right, right. That's so weird. Then you try licking him. And
yeah.
So they never did figure out how to make him hunt then.
I wouldn't say real hunting. I mean, he like, okay, so they took him after a couple of years of rehab and trying to teach him hunting behaviors, they did move him to Reykjavik. They put him in like just this giant, he was in open water for the first time in 30 years or something. And they kind of had like a loose netting around, but he had so much territory. And they put him in a specific spot in that part of the ocean because they wanted to be able to, that's where the male or the whale migratory patterns were. Like, this is like the freeway of the whales, the spot in the water where it was. And they wanted to see like if he could hear his family. And so they also like this part of the planet is so stormy. And they didn't realize that when they set it there. They're like, oh, we have to deal with all of these like 40-foot waves while we're just trying to keep this whale safe. They had to deal with like the fury of nature.
Right.
It was just a massive undertaking. And so the end of Keiko, like Keiko or Keiko, I'm getting Tillicum and Keiko confused. Okay. So Keiko, he ended up hanging out with other pods of whales a little bit, but he never like connected with them. He just kind of like looked at them, you know, like if you took a human being that had been in isolation its entire life and then put it in society, like it put this human being at a shopping mall.
I read Tarzan. I know what it's like. I totally read Tarzan.
Yeah, Tarzan would just be at the shopping mall, like looking and observing. He wouldn't really be like participating.
No. Yeah, he doesn't know that he should go to the, you know, Orange Julius. Yeah, there's no way to reintegrate completely, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So he would like observe and interact. He didn't really bond with anybody, any other pods necessarily. But there was one point near the end of his life where he followed a bait ball of herring for 800 miles and ended up in, I think, Norway. And he just kind of hung out in Norway at the end of his life. He retired in Norway.
He retired in Norway and he was allowed to retire. So he must have learned to feed himself somehow, unless they chased after him and threw fish at him.
He learned to... He survived a lot by begging for fish from fishermen. Like, he was kind of like a gutter punk spare changing for herring. Yeah.
Wow. Doc Martens. Anyway, yeah.
A lot of hemp.
That's so weird. So how old was he when he died?
I think like 50, and he caught a cold. He died from a cold, unfortunately.
That's so weird that because he's in Norway. and he's in the ocean, which is chilly.
Very cold.
At all times, and more so up in Iceland. So, mm-hmm. They obviously had him tagged, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He was there. The scientists that were, helping him try to reintegrate were near him 24 hours a day in one capacity or another. He was always being tracked
from 93 to whatever, 2013.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, did he die in like 2013?
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
Why not? That's a fact now.
Could have happened.
I remember when he died because one of my mom's friends came over and she's like, I made a knitting project. And I'm like, oh, what is it? I was like 17. So it was like, nah, I had to be in my 20s. Okay. she came over with this knitting project and it was a casket that she had knit with yarn with an orca in it. And then it said a tisket, a tasket, a keiko in a casket.
Oh my God.
What a psycho.
And yet sort of
crafty.
Okay, wait a minute. Died in December of 2003 in Norway. Let me just tell you something about Keiko, the killer whale. Orcas are also called killer whales, I believe, mm-hmm. right? Is that right? That makes sense?
Yep.
Okay.
They eat everything.
Okay, so he lived for like a little over a year in freedom.
Mm-hmm.
He died in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought he lived another, I thought he lived more. So, well, I don't know. So, did math without all of the information. Common thing happening on the Dork Forest all the time. So,
yeah.
So let's talk about, the Florida situation.
The Florida situation,
SeaWorld?
Like with SeaWorld? That was in San Diego, where Tillicum was.
Okay, or some other place that isn't Florida. I thought SeaWorld was in Florida. No?
There's SeaWorlds, unfortunately, all over. There's
okay.
SeaWorlds in, like, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I think. Like, I don't know.
There is no SeaWorld.
You're from Wisconsin.
In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I think I was 16 or 18. It was something that my parents knew that I was crazy. Like they knew that I was crazy animal kid, and we had never had any pets. So, for like I think it was my 16th birthday, they were like, "Hey, there's a new restaurant that has dolphins in downtown Milwaukee."
Oh God!
So essentially, we went and had one of the most disgusting lunches in what was essentially a swimming pool, like next to a swimming pool. It was super sweaty. It had that sort of vibe. And then you would get your salad and it would be all wilty, which it's Wisconsin salad anyway. So we're talking iceberg lettuce and winter tomatoes. But
imagining for a second that you were eating the same meal that the dolphins were eating.
That would have been exciting. But it was interesting that it was incredibly thoughtful of my parents. And when I say my parents, no way my dad thought of this. So it was incredibly thoughtful of them to take me to this. But you had to be a little kid to actually get to feed the dolphins or anything.
Unlike the hippo at the beginning.
Exactly. Exactly. It felt, maybe that's why I felt that when I was feeding the hippo, or maybe it was payback for me never getting to feed the dolphin. I was like, well, this is a drag. And I was also a teenager, so I probably had a shitty attitude.
Sure.
Walking into it, much like an adolescent orca, where I was like, oh, I don't get to feed the dolphin. This birthday sucks. When the amount of effort and any effort at all for my birthday was kind of above and beyond the call of duty in my family. So good for them for even trying. And but that's so weird. So wait. Yeah. So there's SeaWorlds all over the world.
All over the country. Yeah.
All over the country.
And then there's horrible aquatic parks all over the world. Like so Tillicum has a body count of 3 people. He's a serial killer as far as orcas and humans are concerned. Orcas never attack humans except for now in Spain. But they're attacking the boat, not, you know, our little meat sack bodies.
Right, right.
yeah. So, the first time Tillicum killed someone was in Vancouver, BC. No, it was somewhere in Canada. I can't remember which part. But it was the first trainer that he ever worked with. And he was in this horrible Marina Land aquatic park. And this trainer, she was young. She was new and she tripped and he grabbed her ankle and drowned her. And then the other two whales that he lived with, his roommates, his jail mates, I don't know, his prison buddies, they started like swimming around and just like going in circles. They were super excited as if to be like, yeah, get her, kill her. He drowned her in front of an audience of people.
Wow. Was the audience also like, get her?
I mean, if it happened in 2020, I would say yes. Because that's how bad things
are. Right, right. That's the worm people who would have been at that show, who are not thinking of other people's safety. That's the only people that would have been at that show. The worst people of Orange County.
Yeah. So yeah, the Kushners were there, for instance. So he killed that lady, and then Tilikum was especially huge for a whale. He was one of the biggest bulls that SeaWorld ever had. And after he killed the lady, that marina closed, that aquatic park decided to close. And they sold him to SeaWorld. And the guys that sold him to SeaWorld were like, oh, he'll have a much better life at SeaWorld. But he was moved over there. And even though he was gigantic for his species, he was also really shy. And I mean, of course, if you're so isolated and alone, you're going to be shy and weird. And he didn't get along with the other whales at SeaWorld. They all picked on him. They raked him with their teeth. He was
What?
Yeah, it's really sad. He was kind of an outcast. And then, like, SeaWorld also didn't tell the trainers or their employees that this whale had killed someone before. They hid that from them.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Did they get a deal on this guy?
This Lord. Damaged whale? I think they paid like $1 million or something crazy like that for him. But the second time Tilikum killed is one of my favorite stories that has ever happened. This is like when I was researching Tilikum for my own podcast.
We are talking with Andy Main. Everyone should know I'm Jackie Cash and I'm talking with Andy Main, great stand-up comic, has an album out called Magpie on Blonde Medicine Records. She has a podcast called PETA, which is people. What is it?
Enjoying terrible accidents.
Right. And it's about animals. And she is about to tell us a story about that. And she's also a big supporter of the Comedy Fort, which is a Fort Collins stand-up comedy club, which we all want to work. Okay, go ahead. Please tell me about when you started researching Tillamagoo. What was the name of this?
Tilikum.
Tilikum.
T-I-L-L-I-K-U-M. Yeah.
Got it.
Tillamagoo. That's catchier.
It is. I should get a job at SeaWorld. No.
No. We could get jobs at the SeaWorld and take it apart from the inside, Jackie.
That's it. That's how you do it.
That's Antifa SeaWorld. Antifa, that's adorable. Aunties against fascism.
Yeah, I'm an auntie. Anyway.
So the day that I was researching this, I remember so vividly just sitting on my couch, and I was actually going through a sad moment in my life. I was depressed. I was like, just sad. And then I found out this story and it changed my entire day because it's the funniest thing that's ever happened in the history of humanity.
Which is why you started your podcast, People Enjoying Terrible Accidents. Yes.
So there was this hippie drifter, like a 30-year-old guy. He had long hair. He smelled weird. He was like a train hopper. Okay. He was kind of like a Charles Manson type of dude. He broke into SeaWorld. We don't know how he got in. I'm guessing that he came in during regular park hours and like hid in a bathroom until everything closed.
Sure. Or a bush.
Or a bush. Yeah, he was very crusty, so he might have been in a bush. He wanted to have a midnight experience with a whale under the full moon. And wow. Of all of the tanks.
What a dummy.
In all of the sea worlds.
In all of the world.
He found himself, he stood above Tillicum's tank, took his clothes off, and jumped in with Tillicum, the only whale in the history of the world that has ever killed a human before. The only orca, I should say. And this guy jumps into that whale's tank.
Wow. Wow. We should literally find his family and just neuter all of them. That is the dumbest dude on the planet. Is this, let's get some demographics on this guy. How old was he?
He was like early 30s, white hippie looking dude.
Okay, so white male, cis, mm-hmm. probably straight, hippie looking dude.
Bearded.
In his early 30s.
Yeah.
And what year did this happen, do you know?
Ooh, boy. No idea. I'm guessing okay. Between the 90s and the 2000s.
Okay, so maybe late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow, so, this guy's dumb. Okay.
Yeah.
What happened?
Jumps into the tank, naked, midnight experience with an orca. I mean, I love orcas, but I'm not going to hug one, you know?
No. Yeah. I would like to be on a larger than 50-foot boat, sort of going next to one on an ocean. So it doesn't attack me, and I just get to watch it play and jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about my own orc experience after this story, which is similar to what you just described.
That's the best.
So the trainers the next day wake up. They go to work as normal. They're like, hey, Tillicum, how's it going? And Tillicum is zooming around his tank in circles with this guy's naked dead body draped over him as if he was a cowboy riding a horse.
Oh, my God. Like wearing the skull of your dead foe.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And Tillicum's partying. He's like, this is awesome. And
if this is what it takes to for you people to leave me alone, look at this, assholes.
Wow. Yeah. It's like Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now, you know? And when they got the body off of the whale, they found out that like Tillicum ate his dick. That's the only part of this man that was eaten. So Tillicum drowned him and then ate his dick.
What? That's banana land. What the?
Think of the precision for this gigantic whale skull to be able to just gently only eat a dick.
Right. A flaccid, receded penis of an adult male.
Old penis. Yeah.
Testicles as well, or just the wiener?
I'm going to say both. I'm going to say he got them all in one delicious little bite.
Oh, crying out loud. That is horrifying.
It's amazing.
And somehow appropriate.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Delightful. So yeah, that's my favorite thing that's ever happened on the planet ever. It's the coolest thing in the world. Just like, I mean, I can't emphasize enough. This is the only orca that's ever killed someone that we know about. And this guy jumps into that whale's tank. That's just, it's amazing. So the third person he killed, was during a live show at SeaWorld.
Another live show.
Yeah. He has a certain
je ne sais quoi. It is flair. It is a performance energy that is really thought out. Okay, so third time's a charm. They're still working this guy.
Still
working the whale after he kills the hippie.
Not only are they working him, they're milking him for his sperm.
Oh, good. Wait, not the guy, because that guy's
not
sperm is done.
Maybe they're hoping
to get that guy's sperm.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they were breeding him specifically because he was the biggest whale there at the park. So He sired like 14 other psychopathic whales.
Right. Who will one day fight for their freedom in a Planet of the Apes kind of way.
Yes.
Good for them.
Yeah. Rise up.
Rise up.
Yeah. I'm doing a writing project right now where I'm taking stories that I've discussed on my podcast and retelling them from the animal's perspective. First person.
Children's books? Children's books. Oh, good.
It's going to be an actual novel of just short stories. And so the first story I did was Tillicum. And I figured out while I was writing him and his character that I'm like, oh, you're Antifa and you're taking down SeaWorld one human at a time.
That's right. He is motivation. Against slavery is what he is.
Yeah.
He is very much an anti-fascist, anti-slave. Yeah. He doesn't want any part
he's
of
an abolitionist.
Yes. He is. He's John Brown.
Yes.
Now here's what we don't know. Here's the story I want you to find. The Harriet Tubman. Find the Harriet Tubman of the whales. The one that's getting them out. Anyway.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I guess you could say that the humans that helped Keiko get to...
Those are the abolitionists.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Keiko, Tillamookin is...
Tillamagoo,
whatever his name is, Tillamagoo is he's the guy who was the, I can't remember his name, but not Nat Turner, but who is the guy on the in it wasn't Haiti, Dominican Republic, whatever, did a slave uprising.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so that's who Tillamagoo is.
I have the statue visualized in my head that signifies that.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'm almost completely done with statues. Allow me to digress. The statuing of people, we could wrap it up at any time. Only if Joe Biden...
I don't think they're even a current art form, are they? Like, no one's making new statues.
I know that there's sculpture happening. Mm-hmm. So sculpture makes me think that there are statues happening. We don't know. So all I know is that if Joe Biden turns into another FDR, that's the next statue I want.
Okay.
So, but he's, I don't know that he'll rise to the occasion.
I don't think so. It's Joe
Biden. But Joe Biden, I mean, he's incredibly competent. And it might be exactly what we need for just someone to dig us out of this hole, someone who has chains on his tires and one of those hitches on the back of his car so he can sort of drag us out of the swamp. Anyway, so here's the thing. Third guy that Tillamagoo killed.
Oh yeah, she was a trainer. And she. Okay, so the theory is that like when you're working with a whale, you have like a whistle and you have a bucket of fish, and the whistle is instructing the whale to do an action, a performance. And Tillicum missed a signal that she had given him. He didn't realize it because he missed it, and then he performed the behavior that he should have been rewarded with, which was just going around the tank on his side. So his dorsal fin was in the air, kind of like waving at everybody. That's what he was doing. And then he missed some beat or some action. And so she withheld fish from him. And then it pissed him off because in his mind, he's like, I did what you told me to do. Now give me my damn fish. And, he grabbed her and drowned her in front of children and other humans.
It turns out entitlement. Entitlement sure. is real. Entitlement is real. And the male of the species, I feel like Tillamagoo, maybe Senate floor zip tie handcuffs.
Wait, we went from him being an abolitionist to an insurrectionist? Jackie, no, he was abused.
Right. He is the victim in this story. You're correct. He is not.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's true. He was just like, I did my job. I'm supposed to get my bonus.
Yeah.
Please pony up. And so he
was having a general strike as if he was in the IWW.
Excellent. And so then did he just leap at her and drag her under?
He grabbed her by her ankle. So
he's a big ankle biter, this guy.
Yeah, he's a big old ankle biter. she kind of went up for air and then he grabbed her and drowned her again. He played with her kind of like a cat. playing with a bird, and he enjoyed it.
And then did he go around and around with her draped over his head like he did with the hippie?
That would have been amazing.
Really would have. Was it captured on film? Is there a film of her being killed?
Yeah, it's in the documentary Blackfish.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, oh, that's right. There was that documentary about SeaWorld, essentially, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's that documentary's the reason why SeaWorld no longer has a captive breeding program. They aren't acquiring any new marine mammals.
Okay.
They're letting the whales that live there die off, and then they're not ever going to have any more orcas again. And it's because of the public pressure that the documentary Blackfish put on them.
Okay.
So that's really cool. And the saddest thing about like the existence of these orcas, one of the saddest things is that in the wild, you know, we said they live up to 90 years, but in these tanks, they only live like 30 or 40 years because their quality of life is so diminished.
Right. And do they mostly have male orcas, or do they have both males and females? It's a mix.
Yeah, it's just
hence the breeding program. So what other, there are no other whales in captivity, are there?
There's beluga whales. But those are also porpoises too.
Okay. Yeah. And we captured them for caviar? What's happening?
Ooh, I don't know what we're capturing them for. Unfortunately, I feel gross saying this, but I've seen belugas in a tank in Vancouver, BC once.
Okay. Have you ever been to the Monterey Aquarium in California?
Yeah.
They're doing their darndest to have, it's an aquarium. It's not a, hey, perform for fish kind of situation. It's a fish zoo.
Yeah.
And, the whole thing about the fish zoo, and I have a bit about it, is that, I don't want to, are they stingrays? No, they're not stingrays. They're the things you could pet.
Oh, yeah. They are stingrays.
They're stingrays. Yeah. That's, I did it once, and then I thought, how would I feel if a hand came out of the sky and just started patting me on the top of my head? And I have since been like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this. And the thing about the Monterey Aquarium is how beautiful it was and how fascinating I've been to two amazing aquariums, and I wonder about the ethics of aquariums, you know. Mm-hmm. I think the Monterey one is trying very hard to be ethical, mm-hmm, and also help these animals not be murdered in the wild, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other one was at the Mall of America.
That's not going to be a good aquarium.
Yeah, I question the motives. Underneath the three gaps that it is underneath. So,
you know, it's a nice environment for an animal because after a long day of swimming in a circle, it can observe people drinking Orange Julius. So.
Right. Who doesn't want to see what's happening at the Dave and Buster's later in the day? And,
it's a very stimulating environment when you think about it.
Yeah. There's a tunnel you can go through at the Mall of America, and the fish and the animals, they have sharks, mm-hmm, where they come and then they go over the hump. And so you can see them come right at you. So it's pretty cool, but it can't be a good life.
No.
But I do wonder about like the Monterey one, where I know that the part of their thing is to stop the extinction, mm-hmm, of these animals.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's something that I've pondered this entire ethical quandary. I've pondered it my entire life as an animal lover, like, and as someone that wants to see animals. Do I go to a zoo to see it? Like, is it an ethical zoo? Is it ethical? Is any zoo period ethical? Like, because these animals are existing for humans' entertainment. So ultimately that's not ethical. But also like, it's part of conservation to have to trap an animal and show it to children. I don't know why.
Well, it sort of pays for itself.
Yeah.
But, you know, but the heart behind it is to make sure that there's still another kind of that animal, you know?
Yeah. For like every elephant in a zoo, hopefully there's like 30 in the wild. I don't know.
Right, right. And I will say that... that I did go to the wildlife park in San Diego once. Mm-hmm. And that was amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, it felt like it was big enough. And there were fences in between, like where the lions are being kept and where the zebras are being kept, which felt rude because they were next to each other.
That's horrible.
Except for the fact that because they feed them, they don't have to hunt the zebras.
Yeah.
And but the zebras.
It's still like if you put me in a cage next to a cage full of all of my ex-boyfriends. It's the same emotionally speaking. And they're all just telling me why they don't love me.
Too funny. Oh my God.
So I have seen orcas in the wild, and this was one of the coolest things I've ever done. We went on a boat. It was like there were two sections on the boat. You can go upstairs and downstairs.
Okay.
It was, I'm guessing, 60 feet long, and it was on the coast between Washington and Vancouver, BC.
Okay.
And on this trip, by the way, right behind me, right behind my curly hair, is a painting I did of humpback whales.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Acrylics?
Oil, as a matter of fact.
Thank you very much.
I've got 3 paintings of whales in my house. I can't acquire anymore, or else it's going to look real weird. But we got to see humpbacks, which is my favorite whale, aside from orcas.
Right.
I even have a tattoo of a humpback here on my bicep.
Right, sure you do. That's super blue. That's all I can see. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. I can see him. There he is. And then you're clearly wearing a Make America Great t-shirt. What's that all about?
Well, Trump's got a gun in his mouth.
Oh. So. Wow. A lot of political going on. But it has to because it's whale talk. Hello and welcome to Whale Talk with Andy Main, you guys. We're talking about orcas. They're actually a dolphin. And so Andy Main, by the way, A-N-D-I-E-M-A-I-N. It's at Andy Main on all the things, the Twitter and whatnot.
Instagrams and the Twitters.
Right. Yeah. Andy Main has a hyphen in it for Venmo. If you were to want to send her a cup of coffee, you'd knock yourself
Andy - Main. Yep.
Don't hold yourself back. Don't feel like she would somehow be offended. Anyway, other than that, she has a podcast called the PETA Podcast, which is people enjoying terrible accidents. And she likes the comedy Fort over in Fort Collins and has an album called Magpie of stand-up comedy. So you should check all that out. And now tell me about your whale watching.
So we got to see.
We're at an hour, just so you know.
Okay, yeah. We're wrapping it up with a story about live whales outside, which I think is a beautiful way to end this tale.
Yes.
Yes. So I got to see humpbacks, which like I screamed, Jackie, like everyone else is just like, oh, that's cool. It's a whale. I screamed like a little girl in the 60s watching the Beatles. I was like, ah! We found a pod of orcas, and just the coolest part of this whole trip is like, you know, when you're on the open ocean and the boat's not moving, you're just, you know, stalling in the water, and you feel like that rhythm of the sea, you know, just that natural rhythm, and you're like used to it. The biggest whale from that pod of whales swam under the boat, and it changed the way that the rhythm of the ocean for us to experience worked. Like he changed it with his body, where like the boat stopped moving in the way that we wanted it, that we were used to it moving.
Right. And the boat you were on was like a 50, 60 foot boat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, we just got to see this giant whale under a boat come out the other side. And I cried. It was the best moment. I loved it. I loved it so much.
I have swam with whale sharks. Mm-hmm. Accidentally, though in the joke I talk about swimming with dolphins because it's less words than whale shark.
Sure.
And then I have gone on several whale watches. I always enjoy a whale watch. I will chase a whale and look at it, and I feel it less intrusive than petting a stingray. So I know you guys are busy. I know you guys are hunting or busy or trying to do something. Can we just hang? Oh, you're good? Okay. And then, because the thing is, they can go faster than whatever whale-watching boat I've been on.
Yeah.
I've only seen whales twice. I've probably been on 4 whale watches.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've only not seen them once, and it was because a storm came up out of nowhere off the Oregon coast, the Nor'wester storm.
The first whale watch I went on, which just made me fall in love with whale watches, was in Cape Cod, and there was a whale with its baby. And I don't know what kind of whale it was, but they rubbed against our boat. The baby rubbed against the boat to wipe barnacles off or something.
Oh, what? It needed to scratch its head. Much like you were talking about with the stingrays, I think the thing about whale watching that's really funny is imagining me sitting down at my table about to eat lunch and then a bunch of beings coming over and be like, oh my God, she's eating lunch. Like, that's what we're doing to them.
You are correct. I will say this, Andy Main, this has been a delightful hour. You shouting into the internet with your laptop. Hopefully the audio will work. Rangers, you get it. We're doing our best. We're in a pandemic.
Anyway, a pandemic.
You get it. But Andy Main, follow her on all the things. It's in the notes. Buy the album. Listen to her podcast. Super fun. And thank you so much for doing the show, Andy.
That was one of my favorite hours of my whole life. Thank you so much, Jack.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?